Good evening and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, December 29th, the year 2000. And this evening in the fireside is Bob Hollum and Debbie Bagby. And they are presenting the fifth session in our Pieces of the Way retreat. Session number is HOB 2000-5. Now just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Yeah.
We've had different types of sessions. We've had discussions, and we've had some prayer times together. We've had one music time, and we're going to have another mostly music time tonight. Session ends tomorrow morning. We have only one more time together. And this seems very short. I feel like we're just kind of sort of getting warmed up to each other.
If you want, I'll be here.
Okay, all right. Just keep going. No, I'll still be here. I mean, we can. And Deborah suggested that, in fact, we've started to get to the point where, and I felt this, that we started to touch some nerves. People have started to share a little bit about some of the things that are having an impact on their lives in terms of violence and nonviolence. I'm certainly game to meet together. If people want to, we can raise that question tomorrow morning. But I wanted to, again, with a suggestion from Deborah, just open it up for a minute at the beginning of the session tonight to see what kinds of things, if any, have stirred up in people. Someone at the end of the session this morning wanted to say something, and we ended it. I don't remember who that was, but I just thought it might be a good chance to just ask if what kind of issues have come up for people, or what kind of questions are bubbling in people's minds that you might like to pursue further by yourself, or with another group, or with this group. Yeah.
The question of violence with children, the violence that the children are doing
to each other
within the media, within the computer games, you know, the whole gamut of activity. Life in America.
That's
very violent.
That's come up for several people. And what's the impact of the kind of violence that people are exposed to every day
in the media? Yeah.
Come on.
Hey. Anything else?
What about physical discipline of children? Is it spared their lives, hold the child? Or you guys speak to them?
Am I going to speak to it? We can spend some time on that. I have my own thoughts on it. That's the kind of question I think it could be good to pull the wisdom of the group on, because we've got a room full of parents here. I spared the rod, spoiled the child, I think you could say. I struggle with that one myself. Okay, those are a couple. That's two sides of the same. I mean, both issues involving kids. We might want to take some time with that. Any other issues?
I'm just hearing what's working for people, or what we're hearing the different ideas from last night, doing the role play, or hearing solutions people have found is helpful. How people have applied their hopes
for nonviolence. Yeah, that's actually where I kind of plan to end this with tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I'm going to real quickly share one of the interpretations of Jesus, some of Jesus' teachings on nonviolence tonight. I really don't think this whole topic is worth talking about unless Jesus is a part of it. If it weren't for Jesus and what the gospel tells me, I would try to stay as numb as possible. I mean, I really think numbness, the numbness that we were talking about this morning, someone came up to me after the session and said, you know, for animals, there are really three ways. There's fight, there's flight, and there's the freeze. And I think that that numbness, to a large extent, is an adaptive response. I mean, it's an instinctive response that we do when we're exposed to forces beyond our control that we don't know what to do about. But that numbness plays into the hands of the of the powers, as Walter Wink calls them, the kind of institutionalized violence that all of us live with and are part of day to day. So we have to struggle with God's help to find a release from that numbness. And I think that Jesus is the way. Jesus in the community of the prophetic, the Hebrew prophets, and the evolution of Jesus' teachings that has taken place through Gandhi and through Martin Luther King and Thich Nhat Hanh and lots of all of us who've been involved in nonviolent activism of one way or another. But we'll tuck those away. We'll make a time to talk about those issues tomorrow. So please, or maybe later tonight if we have time, seeing how the singing goes. Would somebody please come up and let me just read this a little bit here. I want somebody to enact this with me. This is from Matthew 5, 38 to 42. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Walter Wink has this to say about this passage. Christians have, on the whole, simply ignored this teaching. It has seemed impractical, masochistic, suicidal, an invitation to bullies and spouse batterers to wipe up the floor with their supine Christian victims. Some who have tried to follow Jesus' words have understood it to mean non-resistance. Let the oppressor perpetrate evil unopposed. Even scholars have swallowed the eat humble pie reading of this text. It is better to surrender everything and go through life naked than to insist on one's legal rights, to cite only one of scores of these commentators from Augustine right up to the present. Interpreted thus, the passage has become the basis for systematic training in cowardice, as Christians are taught to acquiesce to evil. Pretty powerful stuff, but something to gnaw on, and kind of sharpens what I've been trying to say. I quoted Gandhi, who said, no one can be trained in nonviolence who hasn't already been violent. That nonviolence is not passivity. It is a better way of resisting evil than violence. We've talked about responses to violence being flight on one hand, flight on the other hand, but in the middle, the third way, Jesus' way, the way of active nonviolence resistance. I just wanted somebody just to get into this one. Says if someone hits you on the right cheek, offer them the left cheek as well.
Ooh, you want to volunteer?
I would like someone to come up and hit me on the right cheek.
Okay.
Right. Child abuse. Here comes the
Well, this is certainly dramatic.
That was shocking.
Now remember this part, Miss Bagby.
That's just pretend.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Okay. I want you to show me how you would hit me on the right cheek.
Don't knock over the glass.
On the right cheek.
Oh, that's tricky.
Okay, so. Okay.
That's the left cheek, son.
Oh, very
tricky part.
No. Now remember.
What?
Slap.
You have to hit me with. You can only use your right hand.
Okay.
And I suppose you could come around and come at me from the side. But let's assume that you had to hit me, looking at me eye to eye. You couldn't come off to the side and attack me like that. Oh, yeah. So you could do it kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit awkward though. You think you could get a good smacking like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other option, of course, would be to hit me with the back of your hand. Have you ever done that? Like that? Just do it nice. You can do it kind of soft. I won't mind. Okay. What kind of slap is that?
Backhand. It's when your mom gets really angry at you for not doing your chores.
Parental discipline review. This has been another tale from family life.
You know, that type of a slap, I've been told, is not a arrestable offense.
Right.
If you get,
really?
I've heard, my source is not great, it's Shirley MacLaine. She had somebody do a...
Who was she channeling?
Something in a paper, you know, one of the star reviewing newspapers about it. It was a lie. Uh-huh. And she asked her lawyer what she could do, and he said, you can hit him with the back of your hand, and it'll be a misdemeanor. And if you hit from the front of your hand, it was a...
Well, Walter Rank makes a couple of points about this commandment. One is that all these commandments are written, they're addressed to the people who were getting slapped. Okay, if someone slaps you, it's like if someone sues you and takes your coat. If someone makes you carry their pack, those are the three things chosen, and those kind of set off historical kind of background issues. Israel, an occupied land where Roman soldiers were garrisoned and where soldiers could, there's a lot of legal stuff from ancient times about what soldiers were and weren't allowed to do in Roman military regulations. But in general, people who get slapped with the back of the hand are either children or slaves, or servants. It's a slap of an insult, and to be slapped on the right cheek in a, as Wood points out, it's a right-handed society. It was very, very a strong cultural, as it is in many parts of the world today. The left hand is the hand that's used for sanitary purposes. The right hand is the hand that's used for everything else. And so, first of all, the slap would be assumed to be done with the right hand. Right. To slap someone on the right cheek with the right hand is very hard to do, as we saw, unless it's a backhanded slap, which is the slap administered by a social better to a social inferior, a slave or a child or a servant or an occupying Roman slapping an occupied person. The commandment then to turn the other cheek. What would that mean? If someone comes up and slaps you with the back of their hand and you say they've slapped you with the back of the hand on the right cheek, you turn the left cheek as well.
You would have the opportunity to take them to court then. Presumably, they would really do you harm.
Since that would be a legal offense,
right?
As someone was pointing out. What else would it be saying?
I have read and heard that also in the occupation that the Romans, you know, they were allowed to do so much as you described, mm-hmm. and beyond that, it was their problem. Roman soldiers wore a glove. Uh-huh. That the back of it was spiked or studded, and it was illegal for them to do it with the back of their hand. So it was a form of protest to say, all right, you hit me this way, now you hit me the other way, and you are in trouble.
Right.
So it was a ultimate protest of saying, now what are you going to do?
Right.
You've got your rod. Same with carrying the pack, you could only carry it so far. If you carried it further, they were in trouble. Mm-hmm. So if they made you do something, you turned it around and put them into trouble.
Right.
Because they were soldiers, and once they went beyond it, then they had a problem.
Excellent. You've been reading my mail.
I hope so.
I want to recommend Walter Wink's book to all of us. And I want to try to take some of the, tomorrow morning I would like to do a little more role playing to try to take some of the interpretations. I think his interpretations of I mean, I kind of agree. I agree very strongly with that opening quote. I think there's a lot of repression of positive, healthy anger within the Christian community because of a misinterpreted teaching of Jesus that has taught people to be passive and to deny their anger rather than figuring out a constructive, nonviolent way to be confrontative and to be. And I come from a congregation where the church became involved in a very hard struggle with the neighborhood association over a zoning battle to build a block of houses, that parking lot that I was telling you about, that turned out to be used as a place for ministry. The congregation decided that sheltering people wasn't enough. They needed to be involved in creating some low-income housing because there's not enough low-income housing. And the neighborhood association just went bananas and fought at every step of the way because their vision for the community was not low-income housing. It's kind of zoning battle that happens in a lot of places, and it's one of the battles that I think a lot of churches need to be involved in, because poor people and working class people are getting squeezed out of our cities. But anyway, it was very important to me to learn this interpretation that maybe Jesus wasn't telling me to be meek and mild all the time. Maybe there's something in Jesus' teaching that can help us deal with constructive, healthy responses to violent situations. This is not theoretical. This is exactly what the civil rights movement did in Birmingham and over again. If you read the history of the civil rights movement or recall it, sitting down at a lunch counter where people didn't want to serve you, walking across a bridge, a public thoroughfare after the police had ordered you not to do it. All of these were exactly what Jesus is talking about in this parable of turning the other cheek. Not as an act of masochism, but as an act of standing up and putting the oppressor in a situation of being humiliated. So, with that, we must sing.
We must.
We're going to lighten up.
Whatever with my slapping assistant. He's still around.
We're going to lighten up a bit. This is the fifth day of Kwanzaa.
You know, of course, I should have been at Kwanzaa, right?
Yeah, and you came here instead.
That's right.
I owe you big time.
Kwanzaa. Let me tell you, Kwanzaa is pretty big where I come from. There's like 300 people, and I have planned three Kwanzaa services that I'm not even at.
Wow.
You know what my name is going to be when I return to my community. I'm going to be, but.
Everybody know what Kwanzaa is?
No.
Kwanzaa? What are you talking about?
Kwanzaa is an alternative to Christmas for a community that felt as if Christmas had been over commercialized and had lost its and lost its meaning, and to some extent was not a celebration rooted in the life of the African American community. So Kwanzaa was developed as an alternative to Christmas, and it's based on principles of national self-determination from Tanzania and other parts of Africa.
Well, and it's
how close am I?
Very close. It's a made-up day. We made it up 20 years ago, and it's a holy. And we celebrate it at home, and we celebrate it in our churches. And why have three large churches? One church decided to have Kwanzaa 2 days, that's an Afrocentric Lutheran church. Then I have another congregation who has decided to have Kwanzaa 1 day. So my poor husband's playing all the Kwanzaa services. And he just told me, he said, I can't
do all this. I said, well, you're going to have to play the Kwanzaa services. You got to direct the drummers. You got to take care of the dancers. He said, I don't know nothing about this. You'll do it. You'll do it. Today, we're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Today's Neil was purpose, and the theme of today is to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And the Bible verse today is, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. But the service, the big service I planned was UJAMA, which means cooperative economics. Mm-hmm. And we were going to have we're having people, business people, human directors, and just about anybody who owns a business, and we celebrate the fact that they are in business. And the Bible verse for that is to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. And the Bible verse for that one was, whoever does not provide for relatives, and especially for family members, has denied the faith, and it's worse than an unbeliever. So that's like the family day. And since these are shop owners, what you talk small businesses, your children are supposed to be working with you in your small business in order to learn about economics. So that was yesterday's celebration. And today's celebration is purpose. And then Kumba is creativity, and on New Year's Eve, we celebrate Imani, which is faith. And Imani is a very big one. That's when everybody in the city probably will come together in Washington. And I'm here.
Well, we'll be coming together.
Kwanzaa. I'm going to miss some Kwanzaa. So I decided I'm going to do this song. I was going to do it Kwanzaa. It's amazing. African Americans do this song called Children Go Where I Send Thee. And it's like the 12 days of Christmas, only it's only 10. And it's just as fun. And it's called Children Go Where I Send Thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee one by one, one for the little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem.
Where I send thee, how shall I send thee? When I'm gone. to that.
Thank you all. That was good.
What's the next one on the sheet? Have you thanked the Lord? Have you thanked the Lord?
Some of us don't have it.
There is one.
Does
anybody want to play drums?
Drums. Somebody play drums.
Or maracas. I think maracas. Or maracas.
Thank you.
a small one. Think that's there?
That was nice.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I like that. It made me feel like maybe we could have stayed on that plane from Montego Bay.
I'm sad. We're gonna pull one of the music. It's just hard.
That's where our flight was going.
Washington, D.C. I worked for First Trinity Lutheran Church, and it was Missouri Synod and ELCA, and they filled them out because they had a dual membership. So the only one left is a black Missouri Synod church. So when all the Republicans come, they got no place to go to church.
You started it.
Dr. Coleman, I think he's in Minnesota now. He wrote this piece called The Lamb, and this is an original piece to our hymnal, and he also plays the violin. He's just a magnificent musician, but he's also a very good pastor also. They always tell me that I'm a pastor first. Well, he's a pastor first, but he writes magnificent music, absolutely magnificent. And yes, we make harmony on this part here. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his home. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. The Lamb, O Father, where's the sacrifice made? Three different hymnals. We have the Hispanic one,
the This Far By Faith, which is the African-American supplement, and then Praise and Glory, or Honor
Worship
Glory,
and Praise.
Worship and Praise, which is the contemporary supplement, and that's all three. And you might find things contained from all three and each of the different supplements. Remember that these books are supplements and the main book is the LBW. And the supplements sort of help us along worship-wise. Yes, we have, some of us have four books in the pew. Some of us have three.
Some of us are waiting for the hymnals to come out on the compact disc.
On what?
The hymnals have come out on CD. They cost $299.
So you can print the whole thing and not have to have all those hymnals.
It costs $299.
There it is.
That's it. It's out.
It's there.
Try the new century. It has everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other. That's another one. That's
and
not
didn't you tell me that This Far By Faith is selling like hotcakes in South Dakota?
Yeah, I heard that. Didn't hear that. Great hotcakes.
Don't eat any hotcakes in South Dakota. They're buying it in the upper Midwest. They're still hoping for soul.
737.
We should not pray.
Yeah. take ourselves into the picnic. And we're going to sing "We're Marching in the Light
of God." Oh, love that. Yeah, that's
good.
Yes,
yeah. Well, we can stand up. Don't you think guys are going to play the drum for us?
I don't hear a better drum. What number?
650.
We're marching in the line of God's house.
Go ahead.
Put down that.
We're marching in the line of God. We're praying in the line of God. We're singing in the light of God. That's what we're marching.
Doing everything in the light of God.
Yeah. You could do everything in the light
of God. Just sort of. Thinking about some of the issues that we've lifted up, including the concerns for violence, I was thinking about how the purveyors of violence are sort of like the Roman soldier we were discussing earlier, where we need to figure out how to turn the other cheek and figure out how to humiliate Hollywood into giving us better movies. but really thinking about that we need to lift these things up in prayer. So let's just take a good time to still ourselves and think about the words of the songs that we've just sung and have a few breaths, and then let's just have some prayers out into this safe place. where it's okay to be with our pain, okay to be with our hopes, okay to be with our Jesus, with our God, and with each other. Our hearts cry out in outrage and sorrow for the abused children. O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Pray for the men, women, and children living with AIDS in this world who have been told one too many times that they are not welcome or they are not worthy. Be with them as they live out their days here on this earth. May they know that they are loved and that they are worthy.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear. Lord, the earth has turned its cheek to us and we keep pouring on the pollution. Help us to change our ways.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear. For the violence we do to one another by shutting ourselves off from another's pain. O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Pray, O Lord, for my brothers, for men who seem to find it hard to open themselves and to share pain and to share weakness and to be afraid and to ask for directions when they're driving somewhere. I ask your blessing, Lord, for me as a man and for my friendships with other men and for the other men in this room. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For our brothers and sisters who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, may they know welcome in the church. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, I pray for the elderly, for those who are shunned and set aside, unwanted, unwelcome, neglected, or injured. And I ask you, Lord, to work in us the eyes to see, the hands to help, the hearts to love, and the willingness to touch. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For refugees everywhere in the world, the ones who are fleeing, the ones in camps, the ones who are trying to resettle, please ease their loss, feed them, and see that they are welcomed and helped to have a new home. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, I pray for those who are homeless on the streets, those teens that live in the district in Seattle, for Bess Clickinger's last night, our LBCer, and for all who help her tonight in the shelter at University Lutheran. And for those who are working tomorrow in the Art Center, the Drop-In Center, be with them. Give them a sense of compassion and a listening ear to all those who come, and patience. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mother God, Sister God, Daughter God, pray for my new sister Catalina, met on the airplane, whose son is perishing of brain cancer. I pray for my sister-in-law with breast cancer, for all women who experience the violence of surgery, for all men and women who experience the violence of cancer in its many forms, its many violations. Bless us and teach us to be tender with each other and not to fear. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the sexually exploited children all over the world, pray for their stolen childhood. Lord, have mercy.
For parents struggling to understand how to discipline children without hurting them and without being hurt themselves, God, in your mercy.
For teenagers growing up in this world without vision at times, lost, lonely, seeking, Lord, in your mercy.
For children waiting to be adopted and feel like there is no home, no loving for them in this world, Lord, in your mercy.
For University Lutheran in Seattle, who moved their place in Washington, D.C., St. Paul Reformation in Minnesota, and all churches who risk and move towards acts of justice and attempt to live out the gospel on the streets and to all who sit at their doors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those working to shape Faith Center in Ephrata, a place for people who speak Spanish, for people who speak Russian, for people who speak English, and for the emergency feeding program in Seattle. God, in your mercy.
Pray for children with disabilities and their families in all parts of the world. I think especially of my large community in Tacoma and Ashwinikatan in India. It's a blessing on all people with disabilities that they may be treated with kindness. God, in your mercy.
I pray for my daughter and all teenagers who are struggling with depression and for their parents. God, in your mercy.
For anyone who has ever lost sight of who they are, for the people all over who have forgotten that it's important to love themselves too. A prayer for anyone suffering abuse, and as well for the people who are the abusers. May they find help and guidance, and for all the broken hearts, as always, in your mercy.
Thanksgiving for this wondrous and good place where people are summoned by their heart's desire to seek renewal, to seek new images of themselves, of their world, and of their God. We give you thanks. And we pray together, watching me in movement as well as in words. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, that was fun. What do you like? Thank you all very much.